Blog Talk Radio.
To the Stories and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stories and Beer Radio Show. Stories and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Time, and that translates to 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. We're broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, Chula Vista, California, WBEST. Time on deck is 8:04 a.m., and it is a cloudy, overcast day here in San Diego, California. Stokers and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about the sport he or she loves the most. We talk a lot about the NFL because this is a football talk show, but we also cover NBA. We also cover MLB. We also cover NHL. We also cover NCAA men's and women's sports. We also cover anything that comes across the monitors of sport, like hot dog eating contests, pie eating contests, horse racing, dog racing, mud racing, camel racing, NASCAR, UFC, boxing, WWE. We cover anything that comes off comes across the monitor as a sport or sports entertainment. All right, with that being said, today's topic is NBA Finals Game 1. The host will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love the most, to include but not limited to NBA Finals Game 1, NHL Finals Game 1, NCAA College World Series, and breaking news and scores from NFL and Major League Baseball. All right, we already know what's going on tonight. NBA Finals Game 1, Nuggets against the Denver Nuggets, Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray against the Miami Heat, Jimmy Butler, and the crew. The big thing about it, everybody wants to know, is this Miami Heat team doing something special, having all their starters as non-drafted players. They're starting five or non-drafted players. And I'm thinking that they're including everybody but Jimmy Butler. I got to do some more research on what they mean by that. All their players went undrafted, meaning they didn't get picked in the NBA draft. They pretty much were free agents. They all signed free agent contracts, came out of G League, overseas, whatever the case may be. But they're saying that's the type of roster that Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley built in Miami. That type of team. So I don't really see the big deal about it that somebody didn't draft somebody. Draft is all about money. If you feel like a guy ain't worth the money, you ain't going to draft, because you got to pay him the money, obviously, if you draft him. And I think that goes that way in any sport. You know, if you're going to draft a guy, that means you're drafting him and he's signing a contract. He's not doing a workout. He's not doing an open tryout. You're signing him to a contract. So he's signing on for money, a bonus, and all that. So if you're going to take a bunch of free agent athletes and build a roster, that's just a smart GM. That means that the GM was smart enough to save money in the course of his building his roster. And I'm all about free agents as far as like building a roster of guys that may be overlooked, because if you're a smart general manager, you know how to scout talent. You know how to scout dog in a player. And I signed a bunch of those guys anyway, because 9 times out of 10, they're going to be hungrier. They're going to work harder. They're not going to take the opportunity for granted. All those such things. Excuse me, late night dog was up a little bit late last night, so I'm yawning on the mic, and I apologize for that. Nevertheless, I'm here. But back to what I was saying is that they're making a big deal about Miami Heat building a roster full of undrafted free agents. You know, I mean, these guys are professional basketball players. Hell, if you look at the TBT tournament every year, your argument can take a couple of those guys off some of those teams and build an NBA roster. These guys are professional ball players, high level overseas, high level college, whatever. Sometimes things just don't work out right, or you might, at the time the draft come around, you might just look like two or three other players. But when you're paying somebody money, you're looking for the intangible, the little bitty things. No, this guy might be an inch taller. This guy might be a step quicker. This guy might be a little bit stronger. You know, all these different intangibles. I call it politics, but it's not politics in a bad way. It's just like, you know, you're going to pay somebody your money. You're going to pay the most money for the best product. It's just, and you know, whatever the best product is in your mind, that's what you're going to pay. People pay for what people pay anything if they feel like it's worth it. A good friend of mine that comes on to the show, DC out of Maryland, my number one sports contributor, he told me a long time ago, and he was giving me some advice in my business. He's like, people will pay whatever they think is worth. You know, people pay for whatever they feel it is worth. So, you know, that's just the way it is. So when these general managers construct this a team like the Miami Heat, they got all these guys in free agency, an undrafted free agent athlete, but they can ball, and they're probably not paying most of them a whole lot of money. And what happens is they can keep that roster together, and they can sign other pieces, and then they can, you know, offer more money to these free agents now that they've proven themselves But it's like, you know, they didn't have to come off so much money off the top, and these guys are haven't even proven themselves yet. The thing about drafting these athletes, you draft them, you sign them all this money, and you think they're going to produce it. And some of them, sometimes they wind up and be a bust. Sometimes they wind up and just be a bust. And that's a fact. They're saying across the monitor, he set the Nuggets minus 8.5 tonight, 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific, game one. Jimmy Butler on 2021 Heat Nuggets beef. I wasn't talking to Jokic. By that, Jimmy wasn't talking to Jokic during that incident. So it was a situation where, I guess, one of the Morris twins got shoved in the back by Jokic. And they wound up, I believe, having to take him out on the stretcher. He done some kind of play and pissed Jokic off, and Jokic went behind him and pushed him down, shoved him in the back because Morris gave him a shot to the rib. Jokic gave him a shot to the back. Then it turned into a little melee, I call it a sports melee, to where everybody just talking, ain't nobody gonna really throw no hands, but they got that up on the monitor now, trying to talk about is that going to be an issue for the night and this, that, and the other. I doubt it. I really feel like some kind of way Jimmy Butler got involved in it, and I guess he was telling Jokic, hey, come see me in the back. But, Jokic, from what I know, he doesn't seem to be a fighter. He's more like a horse racer. He likes to race horses. So, that's his background, coming from Serbia or wherever he come from, over in Europe. He's a horse racer. I never known him to be a boxer or a fighter or anything like that. But Jimmy Butler, I believe he come. He's a little bit more edgy. Probably street cat growing up. Worked his way out of the hood onto a college basketball team, onto the pros. But I guess Butler saying, I wasn't talking to Jokic during that melee, and that's fine. I just want to see a good game tonight. I don't know why. I mean, this is the time of the year where we're grabbing for headlines. We're trying to find headlights like a needle in a haystack today, because the NFL has not started up yet, and those are 53 man rosters with 53 different unique stories on about 40 teams, if I'm correct, somewhere like that, about 40 teams in the NFL. So the point that I'm making is that going back to this this Jimmy Butler and Jokic beef, a supposed beef, I believe that the media is just trying to find a story, because the only thing that we got going on right now is the NBA Finals, then right after that the NHL Finals, then we got Major League Baseball, college softball, college baseball, the World Series, NCAA World Series for the men's and women's sports. But yeah, all I'm saying is that the reason why they're talking about this beef with Jokic and Jimmy Butler is because there are no headlines. So they're trying to find something. And let's be honest, this particular final, this is one of those finals where it's really not star-studded. We're not talking about Kobe Bryant and Shaq against Tim Duncan and Tony Parker. We're not talking about LeBron James, Kyrie Irving against the whole Golden State Warriors. We're not talking about that. Well, you got all these different personalities. We're talking about Denver Nuggets, who's in the Western Conference. They're way up in the mountains somewhere, up in coal mine country, up in gold, the people panning for gold up in the mountains. And then you got your biggest star is Jokic. Right after that is Jamal Murray, who's been out for the last two seasons, I think, trying to work his way back. However, Jamal Murray is back, and he's back in full effect. But those are the stars we're talking about for Denver. And let's go over to Miami. You got Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Buckets, a bucket. He I like him. Think he's a solid leader. That's what I like about him, his leadership, his tenacity, his dog. But Jimmy Butler, to me, is not what I would consider a mega star. I have seen him with this new, I think he does Michelob Ultra. I think they got him on, endorsing Michelob Ultra, got a couple of beer commercials. But that's what I've seen recently out of Butler. I mean, this is all recent stuff. And then he got a new coffee brand that I haven't investigated yet, but they say he has a new coffee brand. The point that I'm making is, people, this is the NBA Finals that really does not have a star-studded cast of individuals. They just don't. And so that's why it's somewhat an evenly matched series when it comes down to, let's say, popularity. The popularity of the I won't say popularity. I'll say it's sort of like evenly matched because you got a bunch of guys that just are not star studded. Jokic is a star, Butler is a star, but neither one of them are just like, they're not a Kobe, they're not a LeBron, they're not a Michael Jordan. They're just not. They're not those guys. And I'm talking about on either team. So like when the Lakers got beat by the Pistons some years back, probably around about 2002, 2003. The Lakers got beat by the Pistons, I think. The Detroit Pistons had Chauncey, Billups and some other role players. Nobody was really a star on that team. Chauncey Billups was the only notable name, just like with Jimmy Butler and these undrafted players. These guys are not star players. But Butler is a star. He's a known player. But, you know, he's sort of like a Chauncey Billups, Mr. Big Shot. Now, but you know, the Detroit Pistons beat the Lakers that year. But at least on the other side, though, They still had, like, I think, Kobe, number one. Then I think they had Paul Gasol at that time. So they still had a solid big two. And Paul Gasol, he could ball. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm just speaking about the headline. They're trying to stir up this thing with Jokic and Butler. But I know Butler's coming focused to play. My impression of him, he's just coming to play ball and get his hardware. And I believe that Jokic is trying to do the same thing. I believe both of these teams are just trying to come and ball. They don't need no beef. They don't need no beef to get motivated to come out and win this hardware, get the trophy and get the hardware, meaning the ring. I don't think neither one of these teams need that. But of course, the media is always going to try to, you know, dig up some kind of headline to get some kind of beef, get some kind of spark. But I just say that I believe they're doing this because right now it's just that boring time of the year. Spring, early summer, it's just that boring time of the year. You know, I love baseball. I love the new rule changes. I love them trying to speed up the game, do certain stuff to affect the scoring or whatever the case may be, however they're doing it. But baseball is just one of those, they play so many games, good God. And I used to always wonder, how do these guys make money when the stadium isn't filled up? You know, you might have a half a stadium when you go to a game, or less than a half a stadium, depending on how well the team is performing. But yet the team stays in business. Why? Because baseball has old money. Baseball has old money. Money from back in the 1800s, been around forever. So when they start stacking these games, it's like you can go to a game at any time. I mean, you know, you can just get up one day and say, hey, I'm going to go to a Padres game. Go downtown, give me a ticket for about 30, 40 bucks. It's up in the nosebleed, spend a little extra money, pay 120, 150 bucks, give me a decent seat, and sit down and watch the game. Give me a hot dog and a beer. You can do that multiple times in baseball. Baseball really does not excite me, you know, like football. And I'm not saying, and I'm just saying as far as like the headline. Baseball, the players hardly ever get into any trouble. It's just a different culture. Baseball, these guys are hardly getting into a whole lot of trouble. I don't know if it's because a lot of the players are Latino, coming from over in Hispaniola, over in that area, in Latin America, and these guys probably like, hey, I'm in America, I'm making money, I'm staying out of trouble, I'm taking care of my family. But then you look at basketball, then you look at football, you know, it's a lot of black Americans. And unfortunately, and I hate to say it this way, but we have a lot of our kids in from the inner city, whether that's in the north, south, east, or the west, and we kind of have a chip on our shoulder, and we kind of like lend ourselves to what I like to call some foolishness sometimes, and all this stuff becomes headlines. Right now, the dominant sport that's going on right now is Major League Baseball, and you know, in Major League Baseball, like I said, those guys don't get in trouble because there's really no storyline. You got the what else we got? The College World Series is going on, but that's college stuff. They ain't supposed to be giving you no headlines. Then we got the hockey. Hockey is the fourth biggest sport here in this country, number one in Canada, but the fourth biggest sport here in the United States, and they're not giving you any headlines. I'm not saying that nobody in these other sports gets in any trouble if something happens. I'm just saying they don't give you many things to write about. But then you got the we look at the basketball finals right now. These teams don't have any star-studded power on either team. I'm just being honest. They just don't. It's not like Joel Embiid and Harden in Philly if they done went. Giannis, if he took his team, the Suns, if they done went, they're star-studded. The Lakers with LeBron James and AD. So all I'm saying is that they're trying to dig up any little storyline to get something, a spark behind these finals. So they're saying that they don't – I think yesterday they literally said that the ratings for this finals is projected not to do so well, saying that because these are not star-studded teams. I think at the end of the day, a lot of people are going to tune in. Hell, I'm going to tune in. But I'm just saying, you know, when it comes down to am I going to watch this finals or stay tuned into this finals versus watching my favorite Netflix or Hulu podcast or whatever you want to call it, binge-watching stuff, people might be flicking back and forth trying to keep up with their favorite show versus watching these two teams play, because they're not built around star power. One team, both of these teams, they got notable names. Both teams have notable names, but no one is really just a star, is all I'm trying to say. Let's get off into some score schedules and all that stuff that I didn't get to yesterday. Tonight we got the first game for the NBA Finals, Miami at Denver, 5:30 p.m., Pacific, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. And you can find out, go to your monitor and find out what network that's going on. In NHL Finals, I think their first matchup is going to be Saturday. For the NHL, we got the Florida Panthers at Las Vegas Golden Knights, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific time, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. And again, you can go to your other platform to find out what networks that you can watch that on the monitor. Again, the Florida Panthers at Vegas Golden Knights, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. And that's going to be Saturday, June 3rd, for the first game of the NHL Finals, for the Stanley Cup Finals. Where we at? We're going to go to get off into some MLB scores here from yesterday. I believe my team lost yesterday. Get off into that, though. Let's go off into my – just trying to get to Wednesday. And then we'll go over the schedule for today. All right, yesterday we had in Major League Baseball, we had Detroit Tigers winners 3-2 over the Texas Rangers. And we had the Anaheim Angels winners 12-5 over the Chicago White Sox. We also had the Tampa Bay Rays winners 4-3 over the Chicago Cubs. We had the Cleveland Guardians winners 12-8 over the Baltimore Orioles. My good friend and number one sports contributor, DC, probably ain't happy about that, but they'll be all right. They're probably going to play each other a couple more times. Then we got the Atlanta Braves winners 4-2 over the Oakland Athletics. They're saying that the Oakland A's suck. They're saying that this team is terrible, but they're getting ready to move. That's probably why they're terrible. They're probably not really putting too much stock into this roster. They're probably going to do a whole rebuild in 2020. When are they moving? For 2027, I believe. They're going to be in Las Vegas. But they're probably not really caring about their roster right now. Excuse me, people. And we have the Pittsburgh Pirates winners, 9-4 over the San Francisco Giants. Pittsburgh Pirates winners, 9-4 over the San Francisco Giants. And we have the Nationals, Washington Nationals winners, 10-6 over the L.A. Dodgers. Thanks, Nationals, for beating the Dodgers. They're in our division. San Diego Padres losers to the Florida Marlins. Florida Marlins winners, 2-1 over the San Diego Padres. Florida Marlins winners, 2-1 over my San Diego Padres. Come on, Padres, you got to do better. But we play again today. We have the Milwaukee Brewers winners, 4-2 over the Toronto Blue Jays. We have the Cincinnati Reds winners, 5-4 over the Boston Red Sox. Cincinnati Reds winners, 5-4 over the Boston Red Sox. We have the New York Mets winners, 4-1 over the Philadelphia Phillies. New York Mets winners, 4-1 over the Philadelphia Phillies. We have the Minnesota Twins winners, 8-2 over the Houston Astros. Twins, 8-2 over the Astros. Minnesota took that one. And we have the Arizona Diamondbacks winners, 6-0 over the Colorado Rockies. Arizona Diamondbacks winners, 6-0 over the Colorado Rockies. And we have the Seattle Mariners winners, 1-0 over the New York Yankees. Seattle Mariners winners, 1-0 over the Yankees. All right, let's see what we got for today on the schedule for today for Major League Baseball still. Just waiting on the schedule to pop up on my monitor. All right. I got my matchups for today. For today, Thursday, June 1st. We got the Brewers and the Blue Jays are going to go at it. Milwaukee and Toronto, they'll go at it. We got the Phillies and the Mets, they're going to go at it. Padres and the Marlins, again, it's going to be their third game. We split this series 1-1 right now. Come on, Padres, let's go. Everybody know I'm out here in San Diego. Some of them will always ride with anything San Diego. Or formerly San Diego. If you watch the show, you know I love everything Louisiana and everything that's currently San Diego or formerly San Diego. So let's go, Padres. Let's get that one win so we can win this series. All right, then we got the Colorado Rockies and the Arizona Diamondbacks. They're going at it today. The Cincinnati Reds and the Boston Red Sox will be going at it today. The Cleveland Guardians and the Minnesota Twins will be going at it today. Anaheim Angels and the Houston Astros will be playing against each other today. And that's what we got for today for Major League Baseball scores and schedule. Let's get off into some of my college sports. Get off into some of my college baseball and softball. We'll go with the women first, ladies first. And get off into this schedule. For the College World Series, and that's going to be going down today. So we got Alabama and Tennessee will be going at it today for the Women's College World Series double elimination round. So Alabama and Tennessee. We got Stanford and Oklahoma. We got Oklahoma State against Florida State, and we got Utah against Washington State. Big shout out again to my San Diego Aztecs softball team. They came up short against Utah. They should have been in this year in this College World Series, and they could have won the other day, but it'll be Utah against Washington instead of my Aztecs against Washington today. So, again, in the Women's College World Series double elimination round, we have Alabama and Tennessee. We have Stanford against Oklahoma, Oklahoma State against Florida State, and Utah against Washington. So that's going on for the women's side of the College World Series. Let's go to the men. We go to the men real quick, and let's see college baseball. That's the guys, and let's get them up on the monitor. So this is going to be going down on Friday, June 2nd. Army against Virginia. Let's go Army. Let's go Black Knight. Army against Virginia. We got Ball State against Kentucky. And this is for the NCAA baseball championship. And they're still in their regionals, look like, but let's see. We got the, I think they're still doing super regionals. But anyway, again, we got Army against Virginia, Ball State against Kentucky, Texas Tech against UConn, Lipscomb against Clemson, Wright State against Indiana State, North Carolina State against Campbell, Washington against Dallas Baptist. We got Xavier against Oregon, UNC Wilmington against Duke, Northeastern against Maryland, Louisiana against Texas. That's my Louisiana Lafayette Raging Cajuns. They'll be playing against Texas. We got Samford against Southern Miss. We got Santa Clara against Arkansas. We got Tulane against LSU. I got to go for whoever wins that one. I'm fine because they're both Louisiana teams. We got Troy against Boston College, San Jose State against Stanford, Florida A&M against Florida. Let's go Florida A&M Rattlers. HBCU stand up. I always support my HBCU teams. They'll be Florida A&M against Florida. Florida's really good. They got a lot of wins. Florida A&M, they're kind of like above 500. Then we got Charlotte against Tennessee, George Mason against Wake Forest, Maine against Miami, Ryder against Coastal Carolina, Oral Roberts against Oklahoma State. Sorry about the clicking, people. I'm trying to move my page up. We got Pennsylvania against Auburn, Central Connecticut against South Carolina, Nichols against Alabama, Oklahoma against East Carolina. A lot of college baseball schools, because they're still, the men are in their regionals. They're still in their regionals. North Carolina against Iowa, Indiana against West Virginia, Eastern Illinois against Vanderbilt, Sam Houston against Oregon State, and we got Arizona against TCU and Cal Fullerton against Texas A&M. And these are all our NCAA baseball championship regionals. That's why so many scores. The women are about to wrap it up. But the men, they're still in their regionals. I think everybody's about 2 or 3 days. Both sides, men and women, are about maybe 2 or 3 days apart. Or unless it's because of a weather delay. I don't know. But anyway, I just gave you our NCAA college softball World Series matchups, and then also gave you the regionals, the super regionals for the college baseball for the men. So that's what we got right now. In NFL, there's nothing going on in the NFL besides Aaron Rodgers being the big talk right now. You know, everybody's wondering what he's going to do. And in his new home, you know, and everything like that, you got people trying to find out who's going to pick up DeAndre Hopkins. He got released from the Cardinals, and they want to know who could be a match for his services and who could pay him. So I guess he comes with a little bit of a price tag, but, you know, it is what it is. That's what we got right now. You know, there's not a whole lot going on. That's why I said, you know, in the media, they're trying to cook up all these stories. Jimmy Butler and Jokic, some beef from about a year or two ago. They're trying to talk about that and all that stuff, you know. But I think that both of those players think they don't need any motivation. They don't need to be motivated to come in and perform and try to get a ring. They're both there. And, you know, Jokic and the Nuggets already feel like they've been overlooked. Best team in the NBA, and they feel overlooked. So they're going to come to prove something. And the way the team was constructed for the Miami Heat, doing it with a lot of undrafted guys and still made it to the finals. I think that's rarely heard of, and it's probably unheard of, is why they're making such a big deal out of it. But I think, you know, they're trying to prove that they can do it with undrafted guys. They can do it with the way they constructed their roster. Pat Riley being a mastermind of building basketball teams. So, you know, and then Eric Spoelstra, protege, following suit with him, they built this team the way they want to build it with a lot of undrafted guys. So these undrafted guys got them to the dance. So I don't think that we need to be cooking up any stories to get these two guys motivated, ready to go at each other. I think that they're already ready to do that. They have things to prove in their own right, the things I just mentioned. One team being a bunch of undrafted guys, proving they can win a championship because they got this far. And then on the other side, you got a team that's been the best team in the NBA, but because of their location, because of their geographical location, they're not getting any respect because of their geographical location and because they don't really have a mega star. And I'll go one even further. I hate to say it this way, but they don't have a mega Black American star. They don't have a mega Black American star on their roster. Jamal Murray is a Black man, but Jamal Murray is from Canada. He's not from the United States. He's from Canada. So I don't know what part of Canada he's from, but he is from Canada. So that's another thing. They don't have that major Black African American player on their team that's a mega star. They don't have a James Harden. They don't have a Devin Booker. You know, they don't have that on that team. Okay? They don't have a Kevin Durant. They don't have a LeBron James. They don't have that mega Black American star. They don't have a Kyrie Irving. They don't have that. So I think that's also a knock against, you know, that makes Denver one of those teams that you kind of overlook, you know. So, I mean, I hate to say it that way, but that's my take. You know, this is my platform, and I voice my opinion on my platform. But if you'd like to call me or debate me about it, call in Erico 515-602-9687. Again, call me at Erico 515-602-9687. All right, people, time on deck is 8:36 a.m. here in San Diego, California. It's 59 degrees and cloudy. We're going to take a quick station break, go off into a music mix, and let the late night dog wet his throat and get some coffee, and we'll be right back. For those of you just tuning in, you're listening to the Stogie and Bear Radio Show, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, WBEST, Chula Vista, California. And you're listening and talking with the listening to the host, a.k.a. the late night dog, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the late night dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogie and Bear Radio Show. Sorry, I jumbled that all up, but you're listening to the Stogie and Bear Radio Show with Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the late night dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogie and Bear Radio Show. So I hope everybody's enjoying the show, but we're going to take a quick station break, and we'll be right back. Stand by. Yes, welcome back to the Stokes and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Friend, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokes and Beer Radio Show. They're saying across the monitor that Aaron Rodgers has suffered a calf injury, misses fourth straight practice. People, don't panic. Like he always says, relax, relax. Get your ayahuasca, and sip on that and relax. Should the Jets fans be worried about Rodgers missing practice? That's what they're asking across the monitor. Aaron Rodgers misses four straight practice with a calf injury. People, when somebody gets in their 40s, you know, early 40s, late 40s, whatever, nagging injuries happen. I'm 48 years old, soon to be 49. If I work out real hard, I'm going to be down for about 2 days. I'm going to just be real. If I work out, really hard, I'm going to be down for 2 days. Aaron Rodgers needing 4 days off to rest that calf, that's about right. And I know his workouts are way more intense than mine because he's a professional athlete. We're the highest level I ever got to was a professional rec league basketball player or a amateur boxer. And this was all in my early 20s. Well, I could do a back-to-back workout and didn't need to take time off. That's unfortunately not where I'm at today. I'm about to return back to the boxing gym. Matter of fact, I was supposed to be going back today. I was supposed to be making my debut today. And depending on how I feel when I get off of this radio show, I may show up or I may take one more day off. But I don't know. Aaron Rodgers' story kind of motivates me to get on up there today. But we'll see how I feel in a minute. But with that being said, Aaron Rodgers, his that calf injury, that's common for guys our age. Guys our age, you know, that's common. I don't see why we're making such a big deal out of it. But, you know, like I said, we're making a big deal out of everything right now because, you know, there is no football going on. Basketball finals are kind of like, you know, two B-side teams that seems to, in everybody's mind, seems to have kind of like lucked up and just fell into the mix of a championship game, a championship series. So they're not giving them any love. It's almost like the NBA fans, we're pissed off that LeBron James didn't will his team all the way past the Nuggets to get them to the finals. I mean, I ain't going to lie, in my heart, that's what I was praying for. That's what I was hoping for, that LeBron James is going to be able to take his team to the finals with a bunch of role players. Now, them a bunch of role players he playing with. But if LeBron James is in the finals playing against Jimmy Butler, it's different because it's who? LeBron and AD playing against Jimmy Butler and a bunch of undrafted guys. That sounds different. That sounds different now. But that's why they're drumming up all this story, all this stuff, drumming up all this stuff about Aaron Rodgers, because let's be honest, at the end of the day, we don't have anything to talk about. At the end of the day, we don't have nothing to talk about right now. So that's why everything right now is a big deal. Aaron Rodgers only missed four days of training camp. People, we're just happy that he showed up to training camp. We're just happy he showed up to the OTAs, because you know if he was in Green Bay, he didn't care about that stuff. He was like, I'll show up on the first day of camp and evaluate everybody, then see who I want to work with, see who I want to motivate, and then I'll go from there. With his new team, this new organization, he fell in suit. He showed up to the OTAs. He's getting to meet his guys. He's learning his receivers. And frankly, if I was New York, I'd be trying to get DeAndre Hopkins. I'd be trying to get D-Hop. Go ahead and pay that money. Get him a star wide receiver. Get him D-Hop. And if I really wanted to break the bank, I'd go and get from the Raiders, I'd get Devontae Adams. I'd break the bank and go get Devontae Adams. That way I got two star receivers on both sides. And then you got your quarterback. And you got a hell of a defense. Now we're talking about the Jets winning the whole damn division and going deep in the playoffs. That makes sense to me. That makes a lot of sense to me. So I mean, I don't know. You know, you tell me. You tell me. But yeah, you know, him having that calf strain, I'm not surprised. I mean, the guy's 48 years old. Get a guy a break. But they're making a big deal out of this because, like I said, we don't have any storylines right now because it's that boring time of the year. I seen O.J. Simpson. I seen O.J. Simpson on the monitor, and a couple months ago, he was saying this is just that boring time of the year when there's nothing on TV. But I think that was during the college basketball time. Or something like this. Like, it's just that it's springtime, you know. It's like it's the boring time of the year where nothing's really on, and you gotta wait till the football season starts back up to get all the mega headlines. You know, that's why right, it's getting a little bit better for football because people are in their OTAs. You know, they're doing the OTAs, rookie mini camps, or whatever the heck you want to call it. I never understood all these alphabet terminologies, but anyway. They're doing they're doing what I like to call spring training. Like when we was in high school, you do your little spring training for 2 weeks, your spring conditioning, and then, you know, you do that, do your little scrimmage, then you get out of school, and then you do it to come back to August, like beginning of August, you come back for your regular summer camp before school starts. That's kind of like the way I understand the OTAs. It's like doing your spring training. Or your early summer training before you report to camp. You know, this is all stuff to work out these guys that they just drafted, work out their free agents that they signed, working guys out, seeing if they're going to keep them or release them, you know, for the free agent guys, bring them in, work them out, keep them, release them or what, you know. But segueing back to the NBA, Monty Williams and the Pistons agreed to a 6-year, $78.5 million deal. Then we like the Pistons going all out for Monty Williams. Again, Monty Williams and the Pistons agreed to a 6-year, $78.5 million deal. Then we like the Pistons going all out for Monty Williams. I think it's going to be a good fit. I think that's a good fit for Monty Williams because he has a young star there. The young man a couple years ago came out of Oklahoma State. They got their first-round draft pick out of Oklahoma State. I forgot his name. But with Monty Williams working with him and building some pieces around him, around that team and around that player, I think they'll do pretty good. I think Monty Williams is just one of those guys. He'll get a team to the playoffs. He's going to figure out a way to get the general manager to make a couple moves, free up some space, get some players in there for him. And he'll have Detroit. I give him two seasons. He'll have Detroit back in the mix in a matter of about two seasons. With the way Monty Williams might construct this thing, they might get in there in one season. So in the next two seasons, no more than three. I see them being a contender. I see them being a contender in the next two to three seasons. And they gave him a 6-year deal. They're saying it's a 6-year deal. So he has plenty of time to turn them around. I don't think he's going to be one of those. I don't think he's going to be a coach or be in a situation where, okay, you know, I paid you $78.5 million over 6 years. And about 2 years into it, if you ain't got us to a conference championship, you're gone. It's going to take time, people. That's why you give these guys a 6-year deal, because he's looking at it. Give me six seasons. And maybe halfway through, more than likely three, he'll have that team turned around and they'll be in the playoffs. They might be getting bounced in the first round, but they'll be a playoff team. And as they keep gradually moving forward, getting some pieces, the owner opened up his pocketbook a little bit. You'll have a Phoenix Suns. You'll have a Oklahoma City Thunder. You'll have a team like that. And I think Monty Williams coached for the Suns and the Thunder. But that's all I'm saying. You can get a team, you know, or back in the day, a New Orleans Hornets. I think he might have been with them as well. Monty can coach. You got a great coach. He's done wonders in Phoenix. So I think it'll be all right. But these owners, these owners and general managers, they got to give these coaches a chance to fix their mess when you bring them in. Excuse me, people. The thing I'm saying is that when you bring a coach in, you're bringing them in always because it's already a mess. So who can fix the mess? Who's available out there that's been in the playoffs? All these coaches getting released, the Nick Nurses, the doggone Doc Rivers, doggone Monty Williams. You know, you got Milwaukee's coach, Budenholzer. You know, I don't know if I said his name right, but, you know, all these coaches that's gotten released from these high-level teams, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, Phoenix, Toronto, you know, all these high-level coaches from these playoff teams, and some have won championships. So when a team like Detroit goes and say, hey, give me a Monty Williams, who's definitely had a championship-level type of team, get us him, and let's go to work. I think he's going to go there and shake that roster up, get rid of some dead weight, and get the players in there that he wants. If he can get the players in there that he wants, he's going to be all right. But they got to get a man time to do it. They're saying across the monitor, worse for Joel Embiid, Jokic winning or Butler winning? What's worse for Joel Embiid, Jokic winning or Butler winning? Embiid and Jokic finished 1-2 in the MVP voting last 3 years. Jokic won two. Butler and Embiid on 2018-2019 76ers. Well, all I'm going to say is this here. What difference does it make? They're saying, you know, if Jokic wins, does that make Joel Embiid look bad, or Butler, a former teammate, winning it, make Embiid look bad because he hasn't won a chip yet? He hasn't been to a finals yet. That I can remember. I don't even think they made it to the finals. I think they got put out by Toronto the year they got close. They got put out by Kawhi Leonard and the Toronto Raptors, and they moved on to play Golden State in the finals. But I don't think it really makes Joel Embiid look bad on either occasion. Again, like I said, the media, we're digging up storylines. We're coming up with these. It's almost like I don't like statistics. When they make up all these, come up with all these stupid stats that really mean nothing to me, So, I mean, some people like to watch sports like that. Don't get me wrong. It's a geek component to it. It may even be a betting component to it, to statistics. But to me, it's just one more thing to talk about. One more thing to have, one more piece of fuel to have to talk about when it comes down to sports. Okay, statistically, this person is the first guy to ever do this here. Stupid stuff like he hit more three-pointers in the first 5 minutes of the first quarter than any player in history. That's a stupid stat to me. Why do I want to know that? But some people want to know that type of stuff. So then we come up with this story today. Oh, how does it make Joel Embiid look if Jimmy Butler wins the championship? And he was a former teammate in 2018-2019. How does it look if Nikola Jokic wins the championship and he just beat out Joel Embiid, which for the last 2 years they've been tied. They've been 1-2 in the MVP race. How does it make Joel Embiid look? It don't make him look like anything, people. Joel Embiid has been bounced out of the playoffs for some weeks now. The coach has been fired, and he's going to have a new coach. And I believe they got who they get, Nick Nurse. I think they got Nick Nurse. So he's going to have to come in there and deal with that. He's getting ready to get with his new coach, come up with a new scheme, figure out if James Harden is going to stay on board, because I believe he's going to be undrafted free agent in the off season. You know, so you know they're trying to figure out who's going to pick up his bill. Is he staying in Philly? If I was the new head coach, Nick Nurse, I believe I'd be like, find a way to keep him. I need what you got. I just got to put my touch on him. They got a good team. They got to figure out a way to get those guys to the finish line. And Nick Nurse has been to the finish line. I mean, Doc Rivers had been to the finish line too with the Boston Celtics. But Nick Nurse is a guy that's been to the finish line. So I think that he'll be okay at the end of the day. But yeah. So you know, when it all comes down to it, you know, this story about Joel Embiid, where does it put Embiid at if Butler or Jokic wins? Well, somebody's going to win. So I guess what they're trying to say is going to be, either way it goes, Embiid is going to have to bear the brunt of embarrassment. But I don't think he should even be worried about that, me, myself. I think, again, that's another stupid storyline that we're digging up because, you know, the stories are scarce right now until the NBA comes back and we get somebody in the NBA or one of these NBA rosters to do something stupid. And then, you know, we'll have something to talk about. And I'm just being serious, people. I mean, even in this NBA Finals, you don't have a Ja Morant. You don't have a Ja Morant in the NBA Finals to where, you know, he at any minute, he could possibly do something. He could possibly do something, you know, and make a headline. I hate to fade it about the young man. I like the young man's basketball skills and his court presence, but some of the decisions that he makes off the court, which ain't really none of my business and nobody else's, you know, some of the stuff he does off the court is a storyline. He's not in the finals, so there's no storyline for him right now. So all I'm saying is it's just you know, a lot of around the media, that's what we're doing right now. We're digging up stories. We're trying to find something to keep everybody tuned in to the show to keep the ratings going until football season comes in. Now, when football season starts, those cameras are going to be going around from team to team, city to city. We'll have Saints cam. We'll have Chargers cam. We'll have all of this stuff. All the guys that got quarterback. Indianapolis, you'll have the Indianapolis Colts cam. You'll have, because they got the young man coming out of Florida, you got your Houston cam, Texans cam, because they got C.J. Stroud. You'll have the Carolina Panthers cam because they'd have pulled in Chase Young. They'll have all this stuff going on. They have all this stuff going on because they want to They want to see what Young is going to do, what Stroud is going to do. You know, what the young man from doggone Florida going to do, what the young man from Kentucky going to do, even though he went early in the second round. They still want to know what these quarterbacks are going to do. But, you know, and, you know, it's going to be a lot of, they'll be criticizing them and, oh, they need to do this, they need to do that, all this different stuff, you know. So it is what it is. We got coming across the monitor, the women's softball College World Series is on the monitor right now. We're going to have, look like, you know, who is that? We got Alabama and Florida going to be going at it for the softball, Alabama and Florida. I think the young lady's name is Kiki Malloy. They're highlighting her, Kiki Malloy. So I'm definitely going to be tuned in to see what's going on in this Super Regional today for the ladies. I just wish my San Diego Aztec ladies could have made it, but they couldn't get past Utah this past week. But Utah is going to be going up against Washington, the Washington Huskies. So I guess I'll ride with Utah since they bumped us out. But yeah, Women's College World Series double elimination round is on the monitor right now, going down, and I think they're going to kick it off with Tennessee and Alabama. So we'll see what happens on that. I'll try to call some of the game while I'm on air. At least let you know the scores while I'm on air. First time I'll be doing this. Yeah, but exciting time right now. Exciting time right now. Tonight is the NBA Finals. I believe Saturday they'll start up the NHL Finals for the Stanley Cup Trophy. We got the the Florida Panthers at the Las Vegas Knights. So they're gonna be going at it for the National Hockey League for the Stanley Cup, and I'll constantly have scores and updates and breaking news on NHL because right now that's all we got. Is NBA Finals, NHL Finals. This was popping off this weekend, starting today. This was popping off. So, you know, this is what's going on there. We got, of course, you know, like I said, the College Baseball World Series for softball. That's going on right now. So those two things right now, College World Series for the ladies, and we got the – what else we got? We got – the NBA Finals tonight, and we got Saturday the NHL Finals. But that's what's going on right now, and a lot of baseball. Baseball, you know, is really just cranking up, and we're not too deep in the season on baseball, so we got plenty of time. But I'm talking about storylines, you know, just trying to get storylines up and going. It's going to be difficult for. Until football really comes back, it's going to be difficult. But it is what it is, you know. But we're going to take a quick station break here and come back and get off into some football free agency notes and stuff like that. And we'll see what else comes across the monitor that we can Back to the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Our topic for today, if you're just tuning in, is NBA Finals Game 1. The hosts will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love. Topics to include but not limited to NBA Finals Game 1, NHL Finals Game 1. We went over all that. NCAA College World Series, we went over all that. And currently I'm monitoring the game, Alabama and Tennessee in the college World Series for softball for the ladies. I'm currently monitoring the game. Tennessee and Alabama going at it right now. Big SEC matchup. So we'll see who comes out on top with that one. We also talking about breaking news and scores from NFL and MLB. I already went over the scores and schedule for MLB. Only thing that's going on in NFL right now is who's going to pick up DeAndre Hopkins. I hope that the Jets will be smart enough to open up their checkbook and bring him in as a top receiver. And then we got Aaron Rodgers. They're saying that back in 2021, Aaron Rodgers wanted the general manager fired from the Green Bay Packers. What people don't understand is the Green Bay Packers is a weird organization. It's an organization that's owned by the people. They have a president. They don't have an owner. They have a president. And everybody in Green Bay has stock. Not everybody, but a lot of people in Green Bay own the team. So collectively, a lot of people that have stock in that team. And the president makes all the decisions. Is not like an owner where you can go to the owner and just be like, hey, this is what's up. You know, they got a – it's just a weird structure to me. I really don't understand it. Reached out to my man, DC, to call in to the show. He's my number one sports contributor. So when he calls in to the show, I ask him to break it down for all my listeners, how this thing goes with the Green Bay Packers, how their hierarchy goes when it comes down to – when a player got agreement, they don't have an owner to talk to. They have a president. And it seems like their general manager has a lot of power, more so than the president to me. But I could be looking at it wrong. I could be understanding it wrong. Or I could just not trying to understand it. It's just a weird system. If I was the NFL, I would make them change that. If you guys can't get an owner in here, if somebody can't buy this team, we want all these teams to run the same way. With one owner, one majority owner. That's it. We have one majority owner, and everybody else kind of like falls suit. But when you talk about a bunch of collective people, what do you have to do when you got a grievance? Go to everybody, knock on everybody door in Green Bay and say, hey, I'm not happy. Can y'all fire the general manager? Can we all vote to fire the general manager and get him out of here? I don't know. It's crazy to me. But me, frankly, I don't think I'd have been letting Aaron Rodgers get out of the door if I was the Green Bay Packers. If I was the Packers community, I don't think I would have been letting Aaron Rodgers slip through my fingers. I would have wanted him to be a lifelong Packer. But Green Bay does have a history of keeping a guy forever, and then he gets a little long in the tooth, they'll sell him off. I mean, we did see the same thing with Brett Favre. We saw it with Brett Favre. But now we got I forgot who do they have now? I think their quarterback, the young guy, the backup, Love. I think he came out of Utah State, I believe. I think they got him. He came out of Utah State, so it'll be his chance now to step up and show what he can do. If I'm correct, if I'm talking about the right guy, but I think the quarterback that's taking the helm now came out of Utah State a couple of years back, and he's just been sitting in line and wait for Aaron Rodgers to go elsewhere or to retire. So it's his turn now. So they're saying that he'll step up, he'll play. And the experts across the monitor, they're saying that, well, one of the experts across the monitor are saying he's going to have a spark for the first three to four games. After game four, game six, they'll start to decline because now everybody will have tape on him. Nobody has any tape on him playing at this level except for a couple of snaps, which last year I saw him in a game. He came in a relief role against the Eagles, I believe, when Aaron Rodgers got injured, a small injury. I believe that the Love came in and he played a good game. And I believe it's Love that I'm talking about. If not, call in and correct me at area code 515-602-9687, area code 515-602-9687. You can call in and correct me or debate me about anything that we're talking about. Like I said, there's not a whole lot of stuff going on in sports today except for the NBA Finals. I mean, that's exciting. We're excited about it, but let's be honest, they just don't have the mega stars. They don't have those mega stars, those mega matchups. I think right now all we can really look forward to is can Jimmy Butler shut down Jamal Murray? Can Butler shut down Murray? But then can Bam Adebayo shut down Jokic? So I'm just trying to see, you know, but I do know one thing. When that team gets up on you, speaking of the Denver Nuggets, when they get up on you big, it's kind of hard to come back. Because when Jokic and Murray is popping, and then you got a team that got to get used to that, acclimatized to playing a full game at full pace in that altitude, it could be detrimental for the Heat the first two games. They could easily drop two games, and that could be due to, like I said, the altitude. That could be due to just talent as well. But I got my man, look like my man DC is chiming in. So let me go to him real quick. DC, before I come to you, I'm going to frame it up like this here. Do you feel that tonight's game, tonight's finals, is like two B-side teams that people are looking at like two B-side teams lucked up, got to this point, and people are kind of like pissed off and like, why couldn't LeBron James will his team to the finals so we could have at least a star-studded cast with LeBron James and AD on one side, and then on the other side, why couldn't Jason Tatum will his team to the finals over Jimmy Butler, and then we could have Brown, Tatum, and Smart? Do you think that people are mad because this is just one of them weird finals that there's really no stars? And I'm looking at the headlines right now, and not the headlines, but looking at the monitor right now, and people are like digging up fluff. I like to call it fluff to just basically keep people tuning into the show. But this NBA Finals can't keep viewers tuned in because I don't think nobody's really excited about this finals. What do you think about that, sir? Good morning, sir. Go ahead.
I think Miami should have made it there, but they did, and congratulations. You're right. It's Jimmy Butler and a bunch of bums. That's literally what they have. I do not see this as two mediocre teams, though. I see this as Denver being crowned, and I see this as Denver finally establishing itself. Some of that. As a formidable team. For years, Denver has had an impeccable record. They just don't get the media hype. It is not because they don't have talent. Jokic is an incredible player, and he's just not known. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't deserve what he's getting, because to me, he does.
Okay. Let me say this here before I ask you the next thing. If you're calling in to the show, put your hand up in queue if you'd like to say something. I've got people on the line, but I'm not going to come to you unless you put your hand up in queue and want to say something. But anyway, going back to you, DC, it's just crazy. It's just crazy, man. Call a 6921. I'll come to you in just a second here. But, yeah, DC, again, it's just crazy, man, that this finals, man, it's just like you got two B-side players, two B-side teams, and then Jokic and Murray, they're good, but like I was saying earlier, they don't have that. They don't have a Black American, Black American megastar like a Kobe Bryant. Like, you know, they have a international player in Jamal Murray, who's from Canada. If I'm correct, am I correct about that?
Yeah.
That as well is it's something that kind of like he can't carry him like if you had a LeBron James or a Kyrie Irving or somebody like that from the States. Although, don't get me wrong, Murray is efficient. Hold on 1 second. I'm gonna come back to you, DC. Stay right there. Let me see what my man 6921. Call us 6921. I'm gonna come to you. Just announce your first initial, last initial, and the city or state that you're calling from. 6921. Go ahead.
Northern New Jersey, and the middle initials are L and T.
LT, how you doing from New Jersey? Go ahead, sir.
Right, yeah. Well, I don't know about the rest of the country things, but I'm looking forward to this finals. I mean, you know, Jokic, of course, is the MVP. And, of course, you got Miami, who is, you know, looking to rebound their first time since LeBron left the team. So I think it's going to be a very interesting series. You know, you have a lot of people who were watching the last one between Miami and Boston. That drew a big number. So I think it is going to be interesting here. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. And I'm sure a lot of other basketball fans look forward to it.
Well, you know, I'm gonna tune in to it.
And Jimmy Butler, of course, you know, they're waiting to see him.
Yeah, you know, but again, like we're saying, he's not he's a star, but he's not a mega star, and that's what I've been talking about all morning.
He's
a solid guy. He's a star. Oh yeah, he know how to play. I mean, all of them know how to play, but I'm just saying,
yeah.
I think the ratings are going to go down because these are just two teams that just don't have the star power, you know. So, anyway, you know, we'll see what happens. But stand by. I'm going to go back to my man, DC, and see what he has to say about your comments.
Right.
Yeah, so DC, I'm back with you, man. Yeah, but, yeah, I got my caller, LT, from New Jersey. He was just, you know, you heard what he was saying. What do you think about what he was saying?
I agree with LT. I think if you like basketball and you appreciate the game, you will. Again, while I don't like Miami because it's Jimmy Butler and a bunch of bums, they do play well as a team. They do play well, and what they can do, they play within themselves. And so it will be a competitive series. I see Denver in six. I see Denver in six worst case scenario. I really think it's going to be Denver in five. I also think Denver is going to prove how great they are. You're right, Jamal Murray may not be from the United States. However, the NBA is an international game now. So that's the other thing I like about it. Jokic, being from Yugoslavia, I mean, there's a lot of NBA players that are coming from Europe. NBA even has an Africa, like there's NBA Africa, right? They got teams in the league over there. This is great for the sport internationally. You know, for Murray to be from Canada, I think it's a great thing. But I'll tell you this. Remember when LeBron first went to the finals with Cleveland? It was just LeBron and a bunch of bums. They didn't win, but he got that experience, and he wore them guys out. And so I see the same thing here. It'll give everybody a chance to shine. I do think Jimmy Butler's a megastar. I always did. You know, he got caught up for a while when he went to Minnesota with Thibodeau, and he was like, why he can't win with Carl Anthony Towns and the other guy. But it was because those guys don't have no heart. They got talent, but they got no heart. That's the thing. New York lost.
No, you had the same problem in Philadelphia.
New York lost because, right, because it wasn't Embiid's talent. It was heart and coaching. We now know that Ben Simmons has no heart. He's got all the talent in the world, but the dude got no heart. He has zero competitive fire, right? And so you see it. He just was fighting to get that guaranteed contract, and that's it, right? And so that's what you're saying. But yeah, if you're a purist like LT said, if you're really just a basketball fan, yeah, you're gonna enjoy it. I think Denver's gonna run all over them though. I'm really excited to see Michael Porter Jr. and what he can do. And I say that because, you know, he had the label on Michael Porter was all world talent, but he couldn't stay healthy. And honestly, for a while, he could not stay healthy. But he's been solid.
He came out of Missouri.
Right. And he's been solid. And remember, he had them in the NCAAs. I mean, again, all world talent, but he couldn't stay healthy. And he was starting to look like a bust. So if he come out and play well in this finals, then he's going to prove that he's a talent. Obviously, Duncan Robinson cannot pick Michael Porter Jr. Jimmy Butler is going to score on anybody, but he's still going to struggle. I mean, Jimmy has proven that he can be stopped offensively. And like any player, he has his good days. But no, Miami just don't have enough firepower. They're not going to be able to get this done. Now, if you had Tyler Hero, maybe this might go a little deeper. I don't see it, though. I worst case, Denver in six, but I really don't even see that. I was wrong in the Boston series. I said Miami wasn't going to get by Boston, and they did. You know, Boston fell asleep the first three games, and clearly they did something afterwards, right? So, I don't see Denver losing this at all.
Well, let me say this here before I go back to my man LT in New Jersey. LT, stand by. I'm going to come back to you one more time if you're still on. But, DC, let me ask you this, man. What do they mean? What do they mean when they're saying that the Miami Heat, they have a bunch of undrafted guys? Now, my understanding of what they're saying is that the guys that are currently on the court right now playing with Jimmy Butler were undrafted, but it doesn't make sense to me because Jimmy Butler played at Marquette, if I'm correct. So I believe he got drafted. Moving him out the way, you had Tyler Hero. He got drafted, although he's not playing. He's not active. So what's the argument there? Go ahead.
Well, the argument is that if you weren't drafted, it's not that you're not talented. It's that you weren't good enough to be picked in the top six. Right? Because you figure – the NBA is only two rounds, 30-some-odd teams. So if you're not in the top 60, you're not good enough. But the problem is that there's a lot of guys to compete with. You got the international guys. You've got guys coming out of, you know, different development
Africa.
Leagues and things of that nature. That's right. NBA Africa, all these guys are coming. Europe, the semi-pro and pro over there that are declaring for the draft. So it's very competitive, and a lot of the kids now aren't staying in college all 4 years. So, remember, at one point it was kind of a shoe-in. If you stayed all 4 years, everybody knew what they were getting, and so when you got drafted, it was pretty much, you knew you was going to get drafted. But that's not the case here. But, again, I agree with LT. I think it's going to be a great series. I think all games are going to be close, but I still think Denver and five. I mean, worst case, six. I do not see this going seven. I see Denver winning easily.
Well, I'm going to pose this question to both of you guys, but I'm going to go to LT. Stand by, DC. I'm going to go to LT for to ask him this here first. LT, I'm going to bring you back on if you got a minute. What do you think about the way Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra constructed this roster for the Miami Heat? Because the way I was looking at it, and I said this earlier on the show, I'm saying this to both of you guys. I said this earlier on the show that I think that Pat Riley, being the mastermind that he is, He knows how to build teams. And when you talk about salary cap, money, and all this here, if he got a lot of undrafted guys, he's not having to pay them a lot of money. Now, don't get me wrong, all the contracts I know are guaranteed, but he probably was able to sign all these guys for a little bit of nothing that's got them over the hump to the finals that he's winning with. Now, he eventually going to have to pay them. But my philosophy is I think that he got a lot of undrafted guys because he got a lot of great players that he found he could sign them for cheap. That's my opinion. But go ahead, 6921 LT from New Jersey, I'm bringing you back on. Comment on that for me.
I mean, look, I mean, Riley knows what he's doing. I mean, he's been in the finals 19 times. He's won what? He won what? Five or six with the Lakers and brought the success over with Heat the first time around. So naturally, you know, Riley has the formula what it takes to make these players and make them win championships. So yeah, and Spoelstra too, of course. You know, these two, you know, they know what they're doing. They know the game inside and out. So it's no wonder why they got there. To think though that, you know, Miami had such a rough season in the regular season wise, and they still managed to make it all the way to the finals after having a rough go around even in the playing game. But you know what, Riley and Spoelstra, they know what they're doing, and they brought the right formula with them, and that's how they got to where they are. Sickening as it is, because Miami beat my Knicks in the second round, and naturally wanted to go throw up. But they know what they're doing.
Got another Knicks fan. We got another Knicks fan. DC is a diehard Knicks fan.
Since I was six.
Say that again.
Since I was 6 years old, yes.
Been a Knicks fan since 6 years old?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, man.
No joke.
Got DC on the other end. He's a Knicks fan. I'm going back to my man, DC. Stand by, LT. If you got time, just stand by. But I'm going to go back to my number one sports contributor, DC. All right, DC, we got another Knicks fan. Go ahead.
Listen, LT's a smart guy, so that's why he's giving you expert opinion. He's a Knicks fan. He's a smart guy. So this is great. I'll tell you this: the you're right about LT's right about Eric Spoelstra as well as Pat Riley. Let's talk about this really quickly. Eric Spoelstra started as the film guy, right? He prepared the film for the coaching. So you can't prepare film without analyzing trends in players, plays, and the strategic part of the game. That's how he went from not playing, not having previous coaching experience, to being a championship coach, right?
Well, you know that was Riley's job at one time, too.
Right, but Pat Riley was an outstanding player. Remember, it was Pat Riley who in college, remember there was an all-black team that won the NCAA tournament at the University of Texas, El Paso, and Pat Riley was played against them in the championship. So he was a number one guy. Then he came out of Kentucky. He's a great player in college. He came in the pros. He was a great player, MVP, you know, as well. I think he was a Finals MVP. I mean, Pat Riley was a great player in his own right. And then, of course, he was coaching Showtime and the Lakers with Magic in them. And then, of course, Pat Riley made one mistake as a head coach, and that was game 7 against Houston when he was the Knicks head coach, and he kept bringing John Stockton instead of sticking with Hubie Davis and anyone else. He just kept bringing in Stocks. Every time he brought in Stocks, Stocks was 0-for-19 in that game, but if he had stayed with, you know, the backups, we would have won that game against Houston. But that's the only time he actually made a mistake, if you ask me. So the point of the story is that Miami, Spoelstra knows, again, he uses his players' talent to the best of their ability, and that's what a coach does, right? If I know that you can't dribble, but you can shoot coming off a screen, then what I'm going to do? I'm not going to have you bring the ball up. I'm going to have you run out in the court, and I'm going to have people set screens for you. So you can come off a screen and hit a jump shot, right? If that's what your game is, that's what I'm going to do. And so a lot of coaches don't do that, right? So,
but I
still don't see Miami winning this. I think talent wise, they're just going to get out talented and out coached. I think they still have enough firepower.
They were making an argument this morning. And you tell me, you and LT both can tell me because y'all diehard Knicks fans. They was making an argument this morning that this run for Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat, this particular Miami Heat team, who's more impressive, this team or the 99 Knicks that went to a final and they had a little bit of nothing. Well, they said they had Sprewell and a couple of other guys.
No,
Allen Houston.
It was the 99 Knicks. Yeah, you're right. I'm answering it. The 99 Knicks was the answer. And the reason why is because Patrick Ewing was injured. And so we didn't have Patrick Ewing. Remember, we had to play Marcus Camby as the starting center.
So remind you,
if we had Patrick Ewing and Camby as the backup, instead we had Camby as the starter, and we had another player, his name escapes me, as the backup, that changed the whole matrix because, remember, Larry Johnson was playing power forward for us, but he was only 6'6", right? And he was obviously undersized, and that means he was going against Tim Duncan. And then, of course, you know, San Antonio had David Robinson. So you could argue Camby could take out Robinson, but he couldn't take out both Robinson and Duncan, right? Duncan
no,
could
too
score
tall.
All over. Right. He could Duncan score all over Larry Johnson all day, right, without even trying. So my point is that's the thing. I'm saying that the Jimmy Butler doesn't. What Miami Heat did is not as impressive as New York.
Hey, well, let me see what LT has to say about this. Stand by, DC. I want to see what LT feels about it. Stand by. All right, LT, I'm coming back to you. What do you think about that? The comments that DC just said about who had the most difficult run there. Go ahead.
Well, that depends. I mean, don't forget, 99 was the lockout year. We didn't start till January. So, you know, we didn't play a full season, so anybody maybe could have won it. But you have to give the Knicks credit for, you know, finishing eighth in the conference and managed to go all the way to the finals, even though we lost. But it was an impressive run, to say the least. I mean, the division was close, and anybody could have taken it, but Knicks had the star power, even with Sprewell. Oh boy, and we still managed to get to that final. I thought maybe they could have pulled it out. Now, in the case of '94, if they would have took John Starks out and had he not missed that jumper, thank you very much, we would have won the '94 final as well. And of course, I was very disappointed when that actually happened. I remember both years. You know, when Ewing helped guide us in '94. You know, the injury '99 that might have could have hurt us. You know, because while you're a star player. It does make a difficult run for a team to expect to go far, but they still managed to get that point. So we'll have to see what happens if they should pull this out. But I think it's very unlikely. I mean, you know, Denver's offense is way too strong. If they do it, it'll be a miracle, and we'll never hear the end of it. But I still don't see it's going to happen. They have a very tough hill to climb with this Denver Nuggets team, and it all starts tonight.
We'll see what happens. Well, look,
we'll
LT, I'm gonna get you out of here, man. And thank you for calling in to the show. We're about to wrap this thing up here shortly, me and DC. But thank you for calling in to the show, and definitely call back in. We'd like to hear what you say. Finals are over with.
Yeah, if you can call, I have a show of my own actually that I can call into on Saturday afternoons from 4 to 6 on the East Coast. We handle almost everything in the sports world. It's called the Enhanced Sports Show. Number to call is 512-543-4662. It's a live call-in program, so we have to keep our language clean. I'm also available on YouTube. Go to YouTube and dial in the Enhanced Sports Show. You will see my name up on the screen. when you dial into it, and if possible, you can even subscribe to it.
All right. Well, thank you, my man, and everybody listening in. Definitely tune in to his show, call into his show, subscribe to his show, and we'll get you back on here soon. Thank you so much, LT.
And remember, that's on the east. It's 4 o'clock on the East Coast.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you. All right, DC. We're coming back to you, man. Go ahead and let you finish comment on what LT was saying and wrap it up. But go ahead.
No, I agree with LT. I agree with him. You know, he's a knowledgeable Knicks fan. He's a knowledgeable sports fan. And no way do I see Miami pulling this out. But, again, if they do, well, you know, that's all to him. But I don't see it as well myself. I just don't see Miami pulling this out. So I'm pretty excited about this. I think Denver is going to change the balance of the power in the West. I think Jokic is going to finally gain respect. How are you a two-time MVP and no one respect you, right? Remember, he didn't even get picked first in the All-Star game. Remember when they were doing the who picking who first? He didn't even get picked first, and he just decided to stand up and walk towards LeBron's team. Like, you know, he gets slighted. So I think this will be a crown and achievement for this guy. He's a young guy. He's not even 30 yet. I think he's going to showcase his skills. The NBA as a brand is going to love this overseas. I think it's going to be very, very good.
Let me segue over to the NFL real quick. I got an NFL question for you. DeAndre Hopkins, executives are saying he can't run anymore. Where would a free agent wide receiver land after being cut by the Cardinals? That's what they're asking across the monitor. Is he going to Baltimore? Is he going to be another target right along with Beckham for Lamar Jackson? Go ahead, sir.
All right, well, the issue that I have is his salary. If he wants $20 million a year, he's not going to get that. I don't. Baltimore definitely can't give it to him a salary cap. I don't see him as
y'all
a
got deep pocket.
Player. Well, it's the salary cap. It's not, you know, the state of Maryland just gave the Ravens $2 billion. I mean, like, senator, one of the state senators for the state of Maryland, I'm personal friends with, and I texted him like, are you crazy? He gave his ass $2 billion. And his answer was, well, don't you enjoy your football and baseball? I'm like, because the state of Maryland gave both the Orioles and the Ravens $2 billion. And I'm like, man, neither team owns the stadium. The state owns the stadium. I was like, so you essentially just gave the team free money, right? Like, you didn't give it to them for stadium repairs. Right? So I say all that to say the Ravens have cash without question. However, there is a salary cap, and I don't see them going over the cap now. If Hopkins want to lower his, you know, what he'll accept for the Ravens, I see that. But outside of that, I don't see him coming. Now, you ask me, that, you know, he looks like more of a fit in Kansas City. I know that's not what Lamar wants to hear. But if he goes to Kansas City, I mean, and those guys are going to clearly be the other team in the AFC Championship game, right? Because there's going to be another team that plays them. He goes there with Patrick Mahomes. Man, that's going to be crazy.
Right. Well, you know, at the end of the day, I thought it would be a good fit. But like you said, they're not like the Major League Baseball or like the NBA to where you just get a, you know, they do a luxury tax if you go over the cap, or they do a what do they call it in the NBA when you go over it? I think Major League Baseball has a luxury tax, right?
The issue is he worth to pay a luxury tax for? We're gonna say yes. D-Hop, when he was healthy and when he was active, he was arguably the best wide receiver in the game. Yes. But this guy is pushing 30. He's had some injuries here and there, some nagging injuries, some questionable locker room antics. Why would Arizona just walk from that guy? I mean, if they didn't trade him.
I'm going to answer that question for you. because he won't let Kyler Murray get away with what he does. He asked Kyler Murray. I saw it on Hard Knocks. He said, "Man, why you can't find me, man? I'm wide open. Why you can't find me?" And I think, you know, the attitude of Kyler Murray was like, "Hey, man, this is my damn team. Don't come at me like that. This is my team. You ain't been here." And I think they just had to get rid of him, man, because Kyler Murray was like, "I don't want him here."
Right, but let's remember, they put a clause in Kyler Murray's contract that he has to study the playbook, right? So once again, as an organization, who are you putting your weight behind, right? If I got to tell you as the quarterback to study your playbook and make that a provision in your contract, that tells me you're not really trying to win, right? Like, you know, which is my beef with Lamar. I was at a function over the weekend, and people were talking about my comments regarding Lamar Jackson on social media. And I said, yeah, I'm very hard on the guy because he doesn't want to win. Why is it that as soon as OTA showed up, you had Aaron Rodgers come in and work out with the guys, right? You had all the other quarterbacks come in and work out with the guys. Some guys took their wide receivers and went overseas and played catch. Because that's all you know is playing catch and running plays, right? And this guy stayed home. And it wasn't until it was required that he finally show up. Like, for real? You just got the richest contract in NFL history, and you need to be told to show up? Do you really want to win? Right? Okay,
He had the right to punish the organization a little bit by doing that. They made him wait.
Dude, if I pay you the richest contract in NFL history, we're even, Steven. There ain't no punishing me. Like, Lamar's only won one MVP. It's not like he doesn't have Mahomes' record. If he had Mahomes' record, he could do that. He's not even better than Mahomes. He's a better athlete.
Well, I mean,
but he's no winner.
Well, you know, well, like I say, you know, when it all comes down to it, I don't know why he's doing it, because Aaron Rodgers, for whatever reason, Aaron Rodgers showed up to his mini camp OTAs, whatever the hell they call it.
That's my
he
point.
Showed up.
Now, Aaron Rodgers, that's my point. Aaron Rodgers not only has a Super Bowl, but he also is a four-time MVP. Lamar has only won one MVP. Aaron Rodgers won four, and he has a ring, and he still showed up early. And remember, he was just waiting on the team to work out the trade. He had put in his bid to be traded and was like, hey, I'm just waiting on them, right? And his salary was more than Lamar's at the time of the trade, right? Aaron Rodgers was getting $50 million a year, right? So my point is I'm saying, at what point, man, is this about? Is this about being a prima donna, or this about being on the field? Right? Let your play do the talking. So if you about business, show up and handle business.
Promise to my listeners that I was going to ask you this when you came on. Now, they're saying that Aaron Rodgers in 2021 wanted to get the general manager fired. The way the team is set up in Green Bay is like they have a president, a GM, and the people that own the team is the community. So what does Aaron Rodgers have to do to get, if he got a grievance, if he's trying to get a general manager fired, he got to knock on everybody's door in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and get them to sign a petition to make something happen? I don't like the way the team is, their structure is set up. So explain it to me how, like, for Baltimore, you can go to the owner. But for Green Bay, you got 500, 600 people that own the team. How does that work?
Because a lot of teams have a partnership agreement with them, because, you know, there's usually multiple corporations and multiple investors that pool their money together to buy a team. And so each one of them has some say so based on their structure and the contract. But here's the thing. He was trying to use social pressure from the media and the community, as you stated, to their hand. But guess what? It didn't work. And so he left, right? But he also shut up and played. It got to a point where Aaron Rodgers shut up and played, right? And it worked, right? And but Lamar as you said, doesn't have that option. So Lamar got this rich contract, and he got it without an agent, right? So he proved that there's no, because there was talk of racial undertones. Well, he killed that, right? The team killed that because him and Roquan Smith are both African-Americans, and they gave them both the richest contracts at their position without an agent, right? So the team proved it ain't got nothing to do with that crap that everybody tried to throw out there. But in the end, now you got your money. No more excuses.
Before you go, the Baltimore Orioles dropped one last night. I forgot who they lost to, but y'all dropped one last night. What happened last night, sir? I know y'all got plenty of time to make that loss up, but what happened last night?
Yeah, Cleveland, they always play us tough. Cleveland does. The Guardians, former Indians, they play us tough, and that's what happened yesterday. But I'll tell you this. I'm very proud of the Orioles, number three in all of Major League Baseball, number two in the division. So that is outstanding at this point in the season. I just want them to remain competitive, even if they don't finish the season with the same record they have now. I just want them to remain competitive. I think they will.
Who y'all got tonight? I said the schedule. Who y'all got tonight?
I believe we're going out the West later, Giants, I believe. I think that's who. I know we played Cleveland earlier. I think we got the Giants coming up. I think that's the
I'm rooting for y'all. You know why I'm rooting for y'all, right?
Well, of course, as you should, right?
I need to make up some ground.
Right. Yeah, we got San Francisco tomorrow, 7 o'clock start your time. So yeah, we should do pretty well. I mean, they're not beatable. I think we should hold our own. You know, they're 500 teams, so I think we can be competitive. But that's all I want, man. I want teams to be competitive. I want guys to go out there and play. You know, all these guys are talented across all sports, so you can never get someone, you know, everyone's talented at this level. So you just got to have some heart and play smart and remain competitive.
I got to segue to your local college, Maryland. They're in the Super Regional for college baseball. Are they making it out of the Super Regional to go on into the World Series? I forgot who y'all play on tomorrow.
I think so. I think, you know, one of the things that I love about baseball, NCAA baseball, it is, again, it is very competitive. Maryland has been doing well for years to get to stay in there. We moved to the Big Ten. I think that helped a little bit with getting some players. And a lot of people didn't like our move to the Big Ten for basketball, but I think it helped for some of the other sports, and I think baseball is one of them. So I'm pretty excited about it myself. We got Northeastern coming up, so I think that's good. I think we'll do well against them. But yeah, I'm pretty excited with us playing well, you know, and being competitive. I can't tell you how much. It's not a broken record. I just want, you know, get in there, man, and get it in, you know, and that's what we're doing, you know.
You know something? Before you go, man, I saw something, the brackets earlier for the NCAA baseball. Now, Maryland Eastern Shore, which is a HBCU, they normally would have been in the MEAC, but I seen something to where they was like in some other league, the NEC or something like that. Did they move over?
A lot of colleges have been making little moves, and they're one of them. Again, because if you're competitive, it's competition level. A lot of teams, a lot of schools are saying, "Hey, man, we're gonna go and compete where we can get in." You know, if we're not good in one sport, we might be champs in another sport. Let's let's grow that sport. You know, a lot of players, you know, like a lot of schools have golf teams, right? So a lot of schools start moving around in conferences for their golf team. You know, if it's what you do well, make it work.
Go to another conference, sort of like how in football, how Hampton? Yeah, Hampton. They moved over to the Ohio Valley. No, they moved to the Big South. They left the MEAC. Yeah, okay. Well, look, man, I want to thank you for calling in and being on the show today and everything like that, man. Giving us your expert opinion on all things sports, and we'll get you back on here sometime next week when these finals get underway and give me some more predictions and whatnot. But thank you for being on the show today.
Hey, no problem, man.
All right, have a good day.
You too.
All right, for those of you just tuning in, this is the Stoking the Bear Radio Show, and I am your host, Ramiro Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Our topic for today was NBA Finals Game 1. The host will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love. Topics to include but not limited to NBA Finals Game 1, we talked about that. NHL Finals Game 1, we talked about that. NCAA College World Series, men's and women's, and breaking news and scores from the NFL and MLB. So we got all our topics covered today. I want to thank my man DC, my number one sports contributor, for calling in to the show and offering his expert opinion on all things sports. And I want to thank my man LT from New Jersey for calling in, spending a little time with us on the show and giving us his take on the NBA Finals as well. So with that being said, I want to encourage everybody to be light, not darkness, be love, not hate. Treat everybody the way you want to be treated. That's the golden rule. Pray for peace around the world. The war in Ukraine stops, and these wars all over the place that they're talking about and not talking about, pray that they cease. Pray for gun legislation, especially when it comes down to people's mental health. Pray for gun legislation so these mass shootings can stop. Let's pray for our Congress that they get this bill passed so we can so they can raise this debt ceiling or whatever they got to do to keep the government going and everything like that as well, so we can keep our financial stuff in this country straight. With that being said, make sure you get your flu shots. If you haven't gotten them, I think flu season is still hanging around, so get your flu shots, get your COVID-19 booster, keep your hand sanitizer and your face mask on you at all times. With that being said, this has been the Stoking the Bear Radio Show. We'll see you next week on Monday. We're going to go ahead and close out the show. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. This is my Friday, so we're going to go ahead and close the show out. Have a good day. Thanks for tuning in. Set black and fade all.